Okay, here we go again. The second Persiflage podcast. This one seems like a good one, if I do say so myself. Chock full of useful content. This one will change your life, although not much. Persiflage number 2, A Bonfire of Inanities. March 29th, 2001. The boy who delivers these pamphlets for me informs me that few recipients seem to know what persiflage is. Here is a definition. Persiflage is frivolous talk or writing. The first essay is called Beating the Blues. If you're at all like me, and let's hope you're not, I was hoping to hit you up for a couple of bucks, then sometimes you get pretty depressed about the state of the so-called Western civilization. TV will do it to me faster than anything, but the paper works pretty well, as does riding a bus. Basically, any observation of human behavior can be pretty depressing. It often seems like we're not progressing very much, and that Devo might have been right after all, although their careers recently would seem to indicate otherwise. Actually, just an aside here is that I think Mark Mothersbaugh's career actually went pretty well after Devo, what with him scoring films and whatnot. Anyway, back to the essay, sorry. But there are ways to conquer these feelings of depression and hopelessness. One can, for instance, concentrate on the marvelous advances made in the areas of science and technology in the last 10 years or so. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about instant pudding. When I was a kid, instant pudding, as we laughingly called it, was not ready in an instant. It came in a Jell-O-like box. I mean, a box like the box the Jell-O comes in, not a box made of some Jell-O-like substance. That's a ridiculous notion, and quite frankly, I'm surprised at you for thinking it. You had to add water and milk, and maybe an egg, I don't really remember, cornstarch, I think possibly molasses or something like molasses, whatever that would be. Anywho, you had to add stuff and stir it, and then it had to be heated in a pot, which of course you had to clean later, and then it had to be chilled. This was done in something we called a refrigerator or fridge. This often took upwards of 4 hours, hardly instant. Nowadays, you gotta love that word, I can reach into the cupboard, pull out a little plastic cup, peel back the foil cover, and dig into delicious chocolate pudding right away. When I've sated my pudding desire, I just fire the little cup in the trash and wipe the spoon on my pants. See, things aren't so bad. Hubris. Of course, now it would just be terrible to throw the discarded chocolate pudding cup in the garbage. Those things are recyclable. Do you care about this planet? Recycle. This has been a not very effective public service announcement. This week's visit from the Muse, another poem by Charles Roche Bobois. The raindrops run slowly down the windowpane. Sadly, I sit and think of you, the hours we sweetly shared, and the time we got naughty in the sand dunes with a goat. Next up, we have a community service announcement. Here it is. I've long been worried about global warming. I read somewhere that the polar ice caps were in danger of melting. Apparently, these things are almost totally made up of ice. Ice, if I remember science class at all, is made up of frozen water. Now, if I'm not entirely mistaken, if those things melt, we're going to have a lot more water than we're used to. I've been to both the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans, and I have to tell you that there's already a heck of a lot of water in those things. More than a room full of drunks could consume comfortably after a night out on the town. I mean, there's a lot. So what will it mean to us if the ice caps melt and suddenly we have all this extra water? Well, I tell you, we're all going to have to pitch in and do something with all that extra water. So, in the spirit of public service, I've compiled a list of things that each of us can do to help deal with the expected surplus. Number one, all of us have in our very homes a number of empty containers, old margarine tubs, empty wine bottles, those ice cream pail thingies, etc. And they could be used to hold part of that surplus. Number two, one word, gardens. Number three, buy something that uses a lot of water. I would suggest fish, or my personal favorite, the Mr. Turtle Pool. Number four, have a lot of baths. This has the added advantage of making some of us a little cleaner. I didn't want to say anything, but some of you could use a little more frequent cleansing. Number five, drink more. Here I mean alcohol and coffee, both of which are diuretics, and these will make us want to drink water, which, you have to admit, is a pretty unnatural thing to want to do normally. So there you have it. Now get out there and do your bit. And, as per usual, Persiflage ends with some quotations. What could be more impressive than peppering your conversation with these quotations? There are writers who can express in as little as 20 pages what I occasionally need as many as two for. Karl Kraus. It is precisely for feeling that one needs time, and not for thought. Marina Tsvetaeva. I have never voted in my life. I have always known and understood that the idiots are in a majority, so it's certain they will win. Celine. We are all of us in error, the humorists excepted. They alone have discerned, as though in jest, the inanity of all that is serious, and even of all that is frivolous. E. M. Churan. Existence is plagiarism. Also, E. M. Churan. Whose name I am probably mispronouncing, but it's spelled C-I-O-R-A-N, and he was Romanian. So if you're Romanian and have been terribly upset by my pronunciation of his name. Wow, I even had trouble pronouncing pronunciation there for a second. That's not good. Anyway, I don't know what to say to you, except that I'm sorry. Well, that's it for this week. I don't think I have any extra notes to add. Persiflage number 3 is coming up next week, so you'll want to tune in for that. Tune in. There's an anachronism for you. Anyway, goodbye.